Welcome to Smash to Pieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2017's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And today's episode is part three, of our discussion on the game representing fighter number 10, NES. It is the 1994 Super Nintendo game, Earthbound.
Hey, remember that part last month where we were like, things are going to speed up a lot? And then Nintendo decided that, hey, let's release three major games over the course of a month.
If you want to know, if you want something to blame for why this episode took so long to happen, Mario Maker. That's actually squarely, the blame is squarely at the foot of Mario Maker.
Mario Maker and Marvel certainly doesn't help. Fire Emblem's not going to help next episode.
Oh,
because
yeah, God, no.
That is the downside of us having joined Nintendo World Report, where, look, we need all hands on deck to cover these games.
Yeah, it's we have a lot of work to do, but we are
thanks,
trying
Nintendo.
Legitimately, thanks Nintendo, but also, hey, cool it, maybe slightly, just a tad. September is going to be hell.
Why didn't Marvel release in April with Endgame?
That would make too much sense. So, here is how this episode is going to go. This episode will mostly cover the space between Sanctuaries 3 and 4. Because I'm the only one that got Sanctuaries 5 and 6, because there's really no... But, like, that's not going to affect discussion. There is no story content in either of those Sanctuaries. They are literally just... You have to do a fetch quest to get into one, and then when you get Sanctuary number 5, it just gives you an item that lets you into Sanctuary number 6 immediately.
Really? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god. So I played up to the part where you got Pooh, because we were just at the point where I was like, dude, we need to record something. We don't need to stick so strictly to your script.
It has been a month since the last release. It has been over a month since the last Earthbound episode.
Yeah. We also have a plan now to keep things a lot more streamlined. I want us to try and have a Smash to Pieces stream once a week, consistently, on the Nintendo World Report channel. Tentatively, that is going to be Thursdays. That just happens to be the day that works out right now. Probably going to change in the future as our schedules change. But for right now, I'm going to say...
For right now, that's the best day for both of us, is how it sort of worked out.
Every Thursday, except this coming Thursday, because it's Christmas.
Yes, it's Christmas. That's very important. I have plans on my personal channel. Yeah, so that's the hope. Hopefully that will make things go faster, especially considering our next two games are... They can very easily be single-session games. They don't necessarily have to be, but they can be.
But then we've got another long one.
Then we've got another long one, and that's really going to help out on that.
Once we've got a long one, it's good to keep it moving along. We're going to try to keep that schedule from here on out. Long games like this are still going to take a while, but we are planning on keeping things moving.
And to be perfectly honest, I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm kind of glad we don't have a massive amount of super long games on this list, because this is our shortest RPG, and I'm exhausted.
I mean, that's probably exacerbated a lot by the fact that neither of us likes it.
Yeah. So I guess we can get into that. I'm very sorry, everybody, but neither of us are really digging this game all that much. I think I like it a little bit better than you do, a little bit, but I'm still not going to say that I'm having fun.
Well, so a big part of it is everyone says, oh, once you get all four party members, then the combat starts to get good. And it's like, why is the combat starting to get good 10 hours into a 20-hour game?
I'm 18 hours into Earthbound. I've had Pooh for an hour.
Yeah, it's like okay, so like literally the combat and the rest of the game could be the greatest thing ever made. Like it could legitimately become the best game ever made from here on out. That doesn't excuse the first half of this game.
Not at all.
No.
And
maybe it will become the best thing in the world. People that I usually agree with, people that I trust, have told me once you have all four party members, combat gets so much better. And I'll trust them. I'll trust them.
I'll trust them too. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to that. I am very much looking forward to see that. But it doesn't change the fact that the first half of this game, I hated it.
Yeah.
Because that, because it was all the combat. And it's like, I love the writing. The writing is incredible. The story is incredible. The world is incredible. All of that's incredible. But the combat, like, actually, like, thinking of getting into a random encounter or fighting a boss, like, it was actually the worst thing in the world thinking about that happening. I hated every minute I was in a battle.
See, for me, it's not so much the combat as it is. Again, the inventory system is just, it's so bad. It's so bad.
That too.
But I don't want to harp. I don't want to harp on that any further because our past two episodes have been me
nothing but
talking
that.
About
nothing
how but bad the inventory system is. So story wise,
yeah. So we like the story. So let's talk about the story that's been happening this time. This is positive from here on out. Mostly.
I was just gonna. I have other gripes that have to do with. I was gonna just sort of go in order of events because we really are only talking about one arc here. Technically.
Yes.
So it started with our journey to Foreside, which starts in the desert, which that desert can eat my whole ass. I hate it.
That desert was fine, dude. Like,
I don't like the idea of an area where just walking through it will give you a status effect.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't like that. Like, there was a point in your stream where you were walking on the road, because we did notice that if you're walking on the road, Sunstroke can't affect you because they're not sweating. That's the signal. But if you're off the road, then it will. You stepped off the road at one point for literally half a second, and immediately one of your characters got Sunstroke.
Yeah, I think it's just like the worst RNG check in the world. But it's like also the desert is super short.
It is very short, and it gets away with that. I don't like the gold mine, but I think that's just... I don't like dungeons where the central gimmick is all the enemies poison you. You like this?
It just makes it annoying more than anything. But again,
exactly.
Again, it was quick.
It's it took me a little longer than it took you, but that's because I kept leaving to go heal. It's the desert is fine, but I don't like it. I just don't. Meanwhile, I like the layout and design of Foreside. I like the feel of Foreside. It doesn't feel as big city as I expected it to feel. But it still definitely feels like the biggest city we have yet been in.
Yes. Well, the skyscrapers help that out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a city.
Because it's supposed to be New York. Like, it's New York City.
Yeah, it's New York as hell. And is this where the alien invasion in the department store happened?
Yes.
That was a weird thing.
That was really weird and also really frustrating for me. But for some reason, I guess I must have been underleveled or something, because enemies in that part of... I died 5 times, at least.
Really? Well...
Enemies trashed me. So, the walkthrough suggested that before that happened, I should go buy some teddy bears so that they could be meat shields for a little bit, even though most enemies in that department store killed teddy bears in, like, one hit. Literally one hit. I walked one pixel too far on my way up to go buy some teddy bears, and it triggered the event. So I had no teddy bears.
Oh, that's a big oof.
And so I got trashed multiple times during that.
So that's a big part where it's like, I'm really glad I'm playing on the SNES Classic with the rewind button.
Mm-hmm. And I technically have save states. It's just at that point, I didn't have a save state before that, so rewind would have been much more useful in that situation. It's also, more notably than the alien invasion of the department store, Moonside. Now, Moonside, I think, is narratively the most, and design-wise, the most interesting thing that we encountered during this stretch of Earthbound, even though I don't know how I feel about Moonside.
Moonside was kind of dumb, mostly because it's just a lot of, like, randomly talking to, like, the teleport stuff.
The teleporters, as far as we can tell, they are completely random as to where they send you.
No, they were not. They always sent you to the same place. But I don't know if that means that they were randomly generated as a seed when you first start, when you first enter Moonside. But it definitely was. It was definitely like the same person would always send me to the same spot.
Maybe because I remember it being a crapshoot which one was going to send me where I needed to go.
I am 100% confident same person sent me to the same spot.
But like specific things about Moonside, there's also a big problem in Moonside with invisible walls. Where it's like, I should be able to walk there, but I can't, and for no other reason than the game says I can't. Like, there are NPCs over there. I know I can walk there, but the game says no right now. But other than that, like, I think aesthetically, Moonside is very strong. And I do kind of like, I will admit, I do kind of really like the whole, like, yes means no and no means yes.
Yeah, that was, they use it well and it doesn't overstay its welcome. And Moonside, I just thought it was great to have, like, this really weird thing that happens right in the middle of this section that just is it never comes up again.
Mm-hmm. And Moonside is a famous part of Earthbound. Like, that, I knew about Moonside before this. It's very famous.
And I kind of would have liked it a little better if they never explained it.
I could see that.
But they did.
Yeah.
It's some illusion machine. But I kind of liked the idea of the joke where it's just like, yeah, that just kind of happened and we're done. Okay, move it on.
Well, like that joke is still sort of there because it's I guess we were just sitting in this warehouse talking to ourselves for like half an hour. I think the other thing that frustrates me about some of the stuff in Foreside is that it again cuts you down to two party members because it takes Paula away from, and in a way, while Jeff has his uses. And he is quite useful. He's useful as a support.
Yeah, and hey, Ness is a support too. Paula and Pooh are supposed to be your DPS in this game.
Ness is supposed to be a support character for the most part. Like, he's the only healer you have up to that point. Pooh is also a healer. I don't know if you've actually gotten into any fights with him. He has healing stuff. I don't think he learns life up and healing as well. He's the only one, I believe, that learns healing Omega. Which can...
He can be a DPS, right?
Which he... I believe so. He knows... Yeah, he learns, like, PK Thunder. He's the one that learns PK Starstorm. So, yes. He's a strong boy. I think he's a DPS. But he can also heal. And the thing is that, like, in addition to Paula and... Or in addition to Ness and Paula, Jeff is very useful. As your only other party member, Jeff is worthless.
I don't think we should stay on this. It's just us reiterating the same complaints that we've had every episode so far.
But the point is, I overall like Moonside. I think it's a very interesting part of the game. There's not much to it, but there doesn't really need to be much to it. It's just sort of a microcosm of, man, Earthbound. Like, you want to show somebody how weird Earthbound is, you show them Moonside.
Yep. But also don't, because, like, don't spoil that part. Just let it happen.
Yeah. And then after Moonside, of course, there's the, no, you gotta go get the trout flavored yogurt thing after Moonside, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, so I have to get negative again for a second. Not super negative, because it's whatever, who cares, it doesn't hurt anything, but that monkey cave is the biggest waste of my time.
Oh, even Earthbound fans hate this part. Like, I talk to people about it, even Earthbound fans hate that.
Okay, that's good, because it's such a waste of time.
It's really bad.
It's so blatantly just a, well, I mean, we want the arc to be longer. Just make them do this weird, like, trading quest, but it's not really a quest because it all takes place in one set of caves.
But this single arc is 3 hours.
But this single arc took me 5 hours.
I was using a map and I got lost.
Like, I was using a map and I got lost.
Like, but yeah, even Earthbound fans hate that stupid monkey thing.
It's that is good awful. To know, thank God, because it's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But after that, you do get to go into the Monotoli building.
I love, at the end of the Monotoli building, where the Mr. Monotoli is like, yeah, I got a helicopter right out back, you can use that. And you go up on the helipad, and Pokey's just there, and he's like, ah, sucks to be you, and he just steals the helicopter.
See you later, nerds!
That was awesome. I loved that so much.
Pokey is such an asshole. I hate him so fucking much.
Pokey's the best. I love him.
I've seen what he does. No, you don't.
I've seen how he is in Mother 3, I guess. I don't know where his arc in this game goes. I really did not expect him to be like this much of a heavy.
He's like the main antagonist, dude.
I mean, in my head, that's all. I guess. So
I know that like that's. I mean, that's where most people would go because that's the thing people know about Earthbound is the Gigas fight. But yeah, no, Pokey is basically the central antagonist of this game,
and he's great. It's just like he doesn't actually do anything except just be a jerk.
He's the video game equivalent of a like enemy in a cartoon.
Like, he actually has not done anything so far. He has just shown up and just, like, made your life slightly more irritating.
He helped them lock Paula up in a house. That's, like, the only bad, really bad thing he has done.
Yes. But I love it, though. I love that he's basically just a jerk. And that's it. He hasn't actually done anything evil, and I love it.
He's a pretty good villain. And then teleport. We learn teleport. We have fast travel now.
That's appreciated.
Yeah, it's really appreciated. Now we don't have to take that. The bus rides last so long. Though I actually kind of like that, to be perfectly honest. I know that it's weird, and I have a lot of complaints about, like, this game is in no hurry to get anywhere. But the bus rides kind of feel nice.
I very recently started taking the bus to and from work, and if you want to capture the culture of America, that was perfect.
Like, I like that, even though it's super weird that I like it, because again, one of my main complaints about Earthbound's pacing is that there is none. But that specific thing I like. But I like teleport, and teleport is Ness's intro in Smash. That specifically is his intro. If you try to do teleport and you don't have enough room and they hit something, then they will, like, turn black and, like, explode for a second. And that's what happens to Ness when he enters the stage in Smash. Though, when you get Pooh, he already knows teleport beta, which doesn't need the runway. It's more.
Wait, really?
For, yeah, it doesn't need the runway. It's specifically for, like, more enclosed areas. They run in a circle that slowly gets wider until they teleport.
I mean, you can also just do that with teleport alpha.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they start and they run in a circle in place that slowly gets wider. Okay. For teleport alpha, you need corners to run along, so that's cool. I like teleport a lot. I don't think there's any other teleport ability. I think those are the only two, but Pooh just gets it immediately, which is just kind of confusing to me.
Yeah. Okay. Are we on Pooh's part now?
Yeah. Let's. You fly to Summer's. We did the. You do the Winter's Sanctuary, which. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
And then you fly to Summer's. And you do a stupid, weird NPC quest, but then Pooh.
So my thing here is that Pooh just doesn't really fit into the story so far at all. It really feels like a writer was like, okay, we need a fourth party member at this part in the game. What do we do? Let's just add him to the party. Like, he just walks in and says, hey, Ness, I'm here now.
Yeah, that's literally how it goes. I like his little test. I think narratively it's fun.
That section was fun, and I liked it, but I really don't like the way that Pooh just literally walks into the party, and he's just there now.
I kind of don't mind that, but then again, you liked Jeff's section, and I did not. So, to be fair, that's kind of expected.
Yeah.
But I just really like the test. That's another one of those things where, like, man, it's a good thing this game shipped with a guide.
How? It's really obvious.
I don't know. The thing where, like, she goes and she's like, hey, no, you have to come back. We're saying you have to come back now. As a kid, I just know that I would be an idiot and leave. I know that I would have fallen for that as a child.
Well, yeah, that's what it's there for. It's because that you weren't ready. And it's something that you get wrong once, and then you never get it wrong again.
That's true. I just really like the... And did you see the bunny statues when you went to Dillom?
Yes.
That's Sanctuary number 6.
Ah.
So you'll just be able to go straight there after Sanctuary number 5.
Okay, then.
It's I was able to get 5 and 6 in 45 minutes.
Okay.
It's a very short, and it's in that way, it is a hidden blessing that we were not able to get 3 and 4 in one episode, because then it would have been like, all right, see you when we get 5 and 6. That was an hour, and there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
That worked out. But yeah, I don't have anything else. I've done a little bit of fighting with Pooh. I have done quite a bit of fighting with Pooh, actually. I went and did a leveling exploit.
Is that the thing in the desert?
There's an enemy in the desert,
yep,
called a criminal caterpillar. And if you back attack it, you get a free win every time, no matter what. And it gives, it splits 30,000 XP among all of your party members. In the span of, I think, an hour and a half, Ness is now level 57, and Pooh is level 50, and Jeff and Paula are somewhere in between those two. So it works.
So I should probably do this exploit then.
I would recommend it, especially before you go into Sanctuary. And it's really easy to do mindlessly. There's a spot you can just go stand and walk up and down until one spawns. And then it's just a matter of cornering it, which is sometimes hard, but most of the time pretty easy.
I mean, I can rewind, I guess, so whatever.
It's very useful. And there's apparently a similar thing in Scaraba, but neither of us have been to Scaraba yet, which is where the next story content is supposed to take place. So that's where Pokey went. That's where we're going to follow Pokey to. So that does it for... That's all we did in this part. Again, I did Magnet Hill and Pink Cloud, but there's no story content there, so it doesn't matter. Our only goal now is to finish the game.
Which is weird to me, because the Starman.net walkthrough said I'm roughly halfway through the game right now.
I mean, technically you are. Because of the sanctuaries, because there are 8 sanctuaries, and you have 4. I guess, I don't know.
I don't know, I'm worried this might end up taking a while.
It's maybe, like, if it comes down to it, we can just make an executive decision and record another episode. That's fine. But right now, my goal is to beat Gigas. Like, from here. And who knows if that's actually how it's going to go, but...
I'm looking at this walkthrough. There's a lot of sections in this walkthrough between where we are and the end of the game.
Like, to be perfectly honest, not really. This is about what our... second milestone was supposed to be, roughly, and we just didn't end up being able to do it because of E3 and stuff. And with weekly streams, I think that's going to be a lot more possible. But to be perfectly honest, and this is not like a statement on the quality of the game or anything, I'm ready to move on.
To be perfectly honest, and this is a statement on the quality of the game, I'm ready to move on.
Like, I want to move on to Donkey Kong. I want to play Mario. We have been playing Earthbound since May, and I'm ready to not be playing Earthbound anymore. So, here's hoping that next time we talk to you about Earthbound, we will be talking as a finale. That being said, before we go, we have a couple of pieces of housekeeping. If you're on YouTube, you probably didn't hear this if somehow you're listening to this on YouTube or specifically through posts on NWR, because we didn't post it on either one of those. We released a bonus episode about a month ago after Banjo and Kazooie were announced, because, if you remember, if you're listening to the show, you know, 2 characters were announced at E3.
One of which was Banjo and Kazooie.
The logical choice would be to play Banjo-Kazooie.
But
we're not going to.
Because we already did.
Yeah, so back long time ago when we were idiots.
In the mystical times of 2013.
Yeah, 6 whole years ago. That's ancient history in internet terms.
Okay, technically it was December 2012, but and the episode released January 1st of 2013.
But our first game for a different show that we used to do called Second Save File, which was basically this, but without the roadmap and structure of being about Smash characters. It was just, what do we want to play? And that turned out to be a bad idea. But it was a very short-lived podcast. Our first episode was Banjo-Kazooie. So Matt had the pleasure of editing down the episode a little bit, and we re-released it as a bonus episode on the podcast feed. So you can find that on iTunes and Google Play and pretty much anywhere you find your podcasts that's not Spotify. That we released that, and we're going to play Banjo-Tooie for Banjo-Kazooie.
Mm-hmm. And for Dragon Quest Hero, we haven't really locked in for certain, but it'll probably be Dragon Quest XI.
I was under the impression we had locked in for certain, because that's like Luminary is front and center, and 11's going to be the easiest one for us to get a hold of at this point, at any point in the future.
Yes, but it's also we're also going to have to cheat the release date because it came out after Breath of the Wild.
We are, but we already did that with Fire Emblem, so fuck it.
Yeah, without God, that means that it's going to be like almost the last game we play.
It is. And obviously, I think we've both mentioned, like, we'll probably play another, probably not for the show, but we'll probably both play a different Dragon Quest game before that.
What if we just play the Dragon Quests that the four heroes are from?
We are here talking about this game that How Long to Beat puts it 28 hours long, talking about how we're exhausted. Granted, it's because we don't like it, but who's to say we will like Dragon Quest?
We better like Dragon Quest. It's one of the most acclaimed video games ever made.
This is fair. But it's probably going to be Dragon Quest XI. Personally, I had that down as locked in, but now that you say it's not, it's not.
It's weird so, knowing that I'm planning to play a game for the first time in roughly 6 years.
Yeah, it sure is. That's how I feel about most games on this list.
Well, there are a few games that
you know, like Final Fantasy VII. In 10 years, we'll get to that.
No, there are very few games that late in the pecking order that I have never played before.
That's fair. I think even looking at this last like batch, there are three. That's Star Fox, Dragon Quest, and Fire Emblem Warriors. And then possibly the other two DLC characters, who the hell knows what those will be.
That's true. We don't know that yet.
We have no idea. There are still a minimum of two characters that are going to add their games to this list.
So the crazy part was that Dragon Quest Hero was effectively leaked forever ago. So this is the first time
in over a year that we have absolutely no idea who it could be.
Yeah, this is the first time in a long. This is the first time since the show started that we have no idea who the next Smash character is going to be.
And granted, Banjo was also a big surprise.
Yeah.
But, like, that was announced at the same time as Hero, so it didn't have a lot of time to be, like, who could it be? Because it was announced immediately.
Yes. Yes.
So, like, there is that. But these other two, we don't know. We have there aren't even any, like, credible leaks, possibly credible leaks, saying who it could be. We have no idea. It's actually kind of exciting.
Yeah, this is actually the first time we felt this way since the game was announced.
It's going to be a good time. But anyways, those are our pieces of housekeeping. Hopefully we will have more news at some future point. It's possible a character might be announced at Evo. I don't think one is. I really don't think one is going to be announced at Evo because we just got the announcements of Hero and Banjo isn't due to be released for months, and Hero is going to drop like any week now. It's possible. Keep an eye out, I guess.
I really hope that Hero is out by the time you hear this, because if he's not, then covering Hero's release and Fire Emblem's release, it's not going to be fun.
I don't want that. No, thank you. Granted, Hero's release is going to, like, covering Hero's release would take a night. Covering Joker's release took, like, a day and a half, maybe, of time. Fire Emblem is going to be, like, 2 weeks of hell. Anyways, that's enough shop talk. Hopefully next time you hear us, we are talking about how Earthbound is over and we are free from this curse. Oh, what name did you put in? This is important.
That's a special surprise for stream viewers to find out.
Do you know what it's for?
I do know what it's for. That's a special surprise for stream viewers to find out.
Well, there you go. That'll be fun. I'm looking
forward to finding that out. I stream Thursday nights on twitch.tv/NintendoWorldReport.
So yeah, hopefully.
Except for this coming Thursday, because it's Christmas, Joe's going to be streaming on his own channel, twitch.tv/DetectiveDobaga, for a special Christmas stream.
Probably Until Dawn, the most Christmas game of them all. There's snow in it. That's all we got. Hopefully next time we're talking to you, about the end of Earthbound and the start of... I would take any other game now. But we already know what game is next, so it doesn't matter. With that, my name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And we will see you next time for more talk about Earthbound.